Jericho. What comes to your mind when you think of Jericho? That's it at all. The walls come tumbling down. That had happened about 1,500 years before this story that I'm going to tell you this morning. You'll soon recognize it. But what else happened before the walls of Jericho fell down, right near Jericho? There was a big river that flowed nearby called the Jordan River, right? And at flood stage, the children of Israel were led across that river through the miraculous parting of the water by God. Isn't that right? And I would imagine that even that long after, 1,500 years, it was still God's people, the Israelites, the children of Israel, even though they were under Roman power at that time. I would imagine that the city of Jericho still, I mean, if it still has that meaning to us today, would still have that meaning to them at that time, don't you think? And every time they crossed the River Jordan, I know at the time, they had a big mound of rocks that they took out of the middle of the river, didn't they? And they stacked them up as a memorial to what God had done for them. I don't know if that pile of rocks still exists. I imagine some flood has taken them down. But it'd be interesting to know if there is a monument to that great experience that God did for his children at that time. But this story takes place outside of Jericho. On the side of Jericho towards Bethany and Jerusalem. Jesus was on his way up to Jerusalem the last time, and he had just come in through Jericho the day before, apparently, and met that little short man, Zacchaeus, and had that experience with Zacchaeus. But on his way out, he was coming out the gate, and there sat a man near the road. Do you remember his name? Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus, I don't even know how long he had been blind, whether it was from birth or whether it had happened over the years. I don't know if he was young or if he was old. But I do think he had probably been blind for a while, for some time. Because he was sitting by the road begging, like it was something that it was his thing to do. That is how he got his food, how he got his information. Can you imagine being blind? Do you know of anyone that is blind? Do you have friends that are blind or relatives? It's so hard to comprehend what they go through. But if you just close your eyes and think of going through the day with your eyes closed. Do it just for a second. You know how horrible of an experience it can be, huh? Blind Bartimaeus, there's things that happen when you're blind. I understand that your hearing becomes way more sensitive. Your imagination probably grows and becomes much more vivid. And as blind Bartimaeus sat there, I guess over the years, he probably heard all kinds of news, don't you think? And that, of course, the last 3 years was Christ's ministry. And I wonder what he had heard of Christ before Jesus came by him that day. There must have been something, or he wouldn't have been so adamant about getting Christ's attention. I wonder if he heard about Christ's first miracle, or what was recorded as his first miracle, when he turned the water into wine. Jugs of water into wine. I mean, that must have just gone everywhere. Here was a man that turned water into wine. And it was the best tasting of the whole feast of that wedding party. I wonder if he heard about when Jesus calmed the storm and just spoke, "Be still," and it became calm. I wonder how fast that happened, by the way, don't you? From storm raging, waves crashing over the boat to where you think you're drowning, to when Jesus stood up and said, "Be still." I wonder how quick, if it just instantly was calm and there was a moonlight reflection on the Sea of Galilee. It must have been something like that, because as it's recorded, the disciples were amazed, weren't they? That Even the wind and the storm, the nature obeys this man. Surely he had heard about demons being cast out of people and the many healings of others that had their sight restored or even their loved ones raised back from the dead. In fact, speaking of loved ones raised from the dead, it was just recently in a town very close by, Bethany, that Lazarus himself had been raised from the dead. After 4 days in the tomb, as Mary said, he stinketh, Lord. And so we know that he was dead. It wasn't like the little girls that Jesus said was sleeping and raised her back up. You know, that you question, well, was she really dead? I believe she was. And the Bible says that she was dead. But there was no question with Lazarus. And surely, Bartimaeus had heard about Lazarus' miraculous resurrection from the dead. And so, as he heard the crowd coming by him, all the footsteps, this was more than the regular movement to the fields to work out in the countryside. This was a crowd of people. And it wasn't time for them to go all at once up to Jerusalem. So what was going on? And so he asked, what's going on? What's happening that I don't know about? And of course, you know what they said. It's Jesus. Jesus is passing by. Jesus. And I can just see his face light up, can't you? I mean, all of a sudden, the hope. In fact, maybe Bartimaeus had been waiting for this the last 3 years, ever since he heard about Jesus, and building more and more, hoping that he would get to see this man. Surely he would have hope of receiving his sight if he could just see Jesus. And maybe this says something about Bartimaeus and the lack of friends he had, that he hadn't seen Jesus earlier. Yeah, I mean, we hear stories of other people who were taken by their friends to Jesus wherever he was, and Jesus healed them. But when you're blind, it's pretty hard to stumble around and find out where Jesus is and to go to him. So maybe Bartimaeus was just a little bit of a loner or lacking friends. Or maybe I don't know. You use your own imagination. At any rate, he knew that Jesus was coming by. Now, what he did just after that, I think, shows how much Bartimaeus believed that this Jesus was more than just another man. I think Bartimaeus believed that this Jesus was the Messiah. I think he believed it was the Son of God because of who he referred to him as. What did he call him? Son of David, right? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, what does that mean? Son of David. Son of David was the line, the lineage of whom the Messiah was prophesied to come. Now, his understanding of who the Messiah was going to be may have been like those disciples, thinking he was going to set up a kingdom. But still, he believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. And so he shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people started to notice. And they said, hey, man, mind your own business. He's in a hurry. He's on his way to Jerusalem. Just be quiet. It's okay. And he wouldn't be quiet. He said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, have mercy on me. And he just kept yelling it over. And in fact, it says he shouted it. We're talking about Mark 10, verse 49, if you want to be looking at that and on to the end of the chapter. And they could not shut this man up. He refused to be silent. He believed. What causes a person to be that adamant? What more than belief could cause a person to refuse to be quieted when he knew the truth? And what did Jesus say? Jesus stopped first, didn't he? The whole procession stopped. I mean, maybe maybe the attention were on those two individuals in that whole crowd, Jesus and Bartimaeus. And then he said, bring him to me. He didn't go to Bartimaeus. He said, bring him to me. Has God ever asked you to bring someone to him? What a privilege it is to bring someone to Jesus. And I don't know who he turned to. It doesn't say whether it was one of his disciples, one of his, you know, many other disciples besides the 12. But one of them went over to Bartimaeus and said, cheer up, man. He is calling for you. What a neat way to introduce Christ. I got some good news for you. Do we share Jesus in that way? Do we share Jesus in a way that is so positive, so exciting, so meaningful that a person reacts like I'm sure Bartimaeus did? I don't think he, well, just a minute. Let me get my blanket together here. No, I'm sure he jumped up and grabbed hold of the hand of that person and went as fast as he could into the presence of Jesus. And you remember what Jesus said to him? Bartimaeus, he asked him a question, didn't he? What do you want? What do you want? And Bartimaeus said something that I think has more meaning than just the face value. He said, Lord, I want to see. And I think if you could add a couple more words, I think it would have been, Lord, I want to see you. The reason why I think that is because he was so convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. I think somewhere in that process of wanting his sight back and hearing all those stories about Jesus, that he was more interested in seeing the Messiah, in coming close to the Messiah, having the assurance of acceptance from the Messiah, from Jesus, from God, that just like the paralytic that was let down through the roof in Capernaum, all he wanted was forgiveness. He would have been content with just forgiveness and an acknowledgement that he was accepted by God. But what did Jesus say to those around? He said, so that you will know that the Son of Man can forgive sins, rise, and be healed. And so I believe the same way with Bartimaeus. I believe he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to see what Jesus did. And so he said, I want to see. And Jesus says, Bartimaeus, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Well, wait a second. I thought Jesus made him whole. What is this faith that makes us whole? You know, if we would just look closer at what Bartimaeus had experienced there, we might find some of the secrets to that answer. That faith that causes us to shrug off everything around us, to not let anything intimidate us, to not let anything make us self-conscious. That's the kind of faith that Bartimaeus had. The faith that said, I don't care if the whole world tells me to be quiet. I want Jesus. I want to see Jesus. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. What did Bartimaeus do after that? Followed Jesus, didn't he? He didn't go back and say, all right, now I can go to work. Now I can do this, or now I can do that. Now I can have this for myself. He followed Jesus. And what did he get to see after that? Jesus went from there, it says, to Bethany. And at Bethany is where Simon the leper threw a great feast for him, where Lazarus, who had just been raised from the dead, was invited, and where Mary anointed the feet of Jesus and broke that alabaster box of ointment worth a year's worth of wages, probably $30,000-$40,000 worth of perfume. I believe Bartimaeus witnessed all of that. And the next day was the triumphal entry into the New Jerusalem. Wow, what an experience. Now, I don't know how he took the crucifixion of Christ, but Bartimaeus got to the privilege of seeing all of that. you know, we have the privilege of sight. We have the privilege of spiritual insight. We have this whole book. What is it? 1,000 pages of experiences and instruction, of revelation of who Jesus is, of what he has done, of what he's going to do, and what he has promised for each one of us. Not only did he come to show us, to provide salvation for us, but salvation from sinning, happiness, complete joy, and ultimately eternal life with him. Can we get excited about that? You know, if we aren't, we have nothing, do we? We can't make anything for ourselves that will last any length of time. What do we have? 80, 90, 100 years at the most? And it's gone like a breath. It's becoming all too real to me how quick that time goes by. We want to live forever with Jesus, don't we? The kind of person that shows such love and personal interest in us. And you know, that's why we have our whole our Christian educational system, is so that we can keep our kids in an environment where they can learn the beautiful stories in this book. I know just this morning the kids and I and Christina were all enjoying the different stories in the Bible and sharing what they meant to us. We need to do more of that. We can do that on our campus. Most campuses throughout America, you can't do that. You can't talk about Jesus. You can't pray in the classroom. This is where our kids belong. And so I want to appeal to you, as someone who is standing around Jesus, just like his disciples were in that throng, to be someone Jesus would say, go, get that person, bring him to me. So go, get that person, and bring him to Milo. Bring them to where Jesus can speak to them. Bring them to this school here. You have lots of young people in your area. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. He is waiting there to make them able to see. We're all blind. We're all blind in a sense, aren't we? Isn't that what he called the church in the last days, the Laodicean church? You are blind, miserable, and naked. We're blind if we do not have the faith that Jesus shows us we can have. Didn't he say to his disciples, if you have faith in me, you will do what I have been doing. You will do even greater things than these. So if we're not doing those things, maybe we are blind. Maybe we need to go to Jesus and have him restore our sight, that we may be as excited as Bartimaeus was, to jump, to spring off of our feet, to follow him wherever he would go, to bring others to him that their sight may be restored.
Doesn't she sing amazing? You know, before I close with prayer, something just really struck me from that sermon, and you can read with me if you want. It says, the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see you. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. I really identified with the blind man in more than one way. Over break, I got glasses, so I really am blind. But more than that, spiritually, I think I identify with him. A lot of times, I feel like life can get in the way and fog my perspective. I don't know how many of you can identify with that, but my priorities get shifted. And I really needed that reality check that you gave us, so thank you for that. But I know also that if we genuinely ask God, like he did, the blind man did, Lord, I want to see you. Lord, I want to see. And we can be still long enough. I know that can be hard. But if we can be silent enough, long enough, we'll hear him say, go, your faith has healed you. And then we can follow him along the road like he did forever. So if you stand with me, let's have that be our prayer, that Lord, I want to see you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that reality check this morning. So many times we are like the blind man, Bartimaeus, and we don't even realize it. I just realized it sitting here today that I am so much like Bartimaeus. And I don't know how many people here feel the same way that I do. But I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry that I don't put you first. I'm sorry that I ignore you. And I'm sorry that I put you on the back burner. But right now, right here, I want to choose you. I want to choose to put you first. And I want to choose to see you more clearly, God. I want to ask you, Father, to be with me and be with everybody in this room. And to help us to realize what our priorities are. To help to put you first and to know what we need to do to get the work done, Father. We want to see you to come so soon, but we know that we have a lot of work to do, Father. Help us to know what to do. Help us to be equipped to do that work, Father. Thank you for the Sabbath, and thank you for this service and for everybody in this church. Just be with everybody and give them a Sabbath blessing and give them safety as they go to their homes, Father. Amen.